Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, folks, gang, fellers. Bet you weren't expecting this kind of intro. This week, here's what we're going to do. Episode 8. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine back in July, Ricky Schmidt, or affectionately, Schmitty. We're going to talk a little bit about vlogging, something I have no expertise in. I think that's evident with this video. We'll talk about growing on YouTube, and we'll also talk about how we met over at Red Hawk Academy. So, hope y'all like it. It's the first conversation episode. Hope to do more of these. Love y'all. See you next week. Yeah, man. In the Jar, episode 4.
What up?
My boy, Ricky Schmidt.
Let's go.
Schmitty.
How we doing?
Man. So you guys went to Jits today, huh?
We did. Fucking got beat up a little bit. I actually went soft today, and I had Brendan just getting some really good positions on me. He tapped me.
He got you today?
Oh, yeah. I let him start with the rear naked on my back. Sunken in pretty deep.
Dude.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, by the way, dude. This is cool.
Yeah,
I'm happy you're starting a pod, man.
I'm trying to just be consistent with it and just shoot every week and see what we get.
Consistency's key. And it's the hardest thing.
And I think there's definitely something that has to, like, keep that going, you know, because, like, the initial rush of, like, publishing that first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, coming back again the next week. I think there's something to be said for that. I feel like there's something that has to, like, get you through that. For me, it's connecting. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I have the problem when I get stuff made, like my vlogs and stuff, I want to get them out as soon as possible. So, like, even, like, there's been times where I'm ahead with episodes. And I'm like, oh, we should just sit on this one for a week. That way we have one. But then I just release it a couple days because I want it out.
Dude, what's the deal with vlogs? I haven't gotten into that realm yet. Like, do you just go around with a camera?
Yeah, just my phone, dude. I just start with my phone. I'm not like the professionals with it. But I really enjoy it. I'm not going to lie. It's a lot of fun. I'm in a unique space. So and a lot of my fans really enjoy a lot of the stuff I get to do that I'm blessed to do. So I just take a camera around with me. Whenever I think the key so that you don't have a lot of editing to do is that you make sure you get the best parts. So like when you're in a moment that you know would be good for camera, you just whip out your phone real quick, get it on camera. And say what you're going to do, like let the people know what's going to happen. Just stuff like that. Catch the natural stuff, moments.
That's just cool, dude.
Paint a little story in each video.
I think that's a skill in and of itself, like being able to spot out those moments.
Well, yeah, I guess it is. I think if you just work at it, though, you get better. Because, dude, when I first started doing vlogs, Sean would always yell at me, 10 minutes, Schmidt. I'd have like a 19-minute vlog, but I'd have 2 hours of footage because I would just video everything. And then so I just, from videoing everything and just dwindling down, I started figuring out, oh, hey, just record this, so that you have less to go through, if that makes sense, and have the better moments.
Yeah, man.
editing is the one that really
gets you.
Dude, that one's, I mean, because I feel like with this, you got to be consistent, like we talked about.
Uh-huh.
And you got to pump out like a certain amount of work a week.
Yeah.
And you ain't got a boss like making sure you're doing it, like it's on you.
Yeah. You're your own boss. That's the part. I love podcasting so much that, like, and me and Brandon, we're working on some shit. We're going to get Sean's fight and everything has cost a lot of money. So after that, we're going to try and get a third mic, start getting some guests on. Because it's all about just starting. And if you truly love podcasting and connecting with people, dude, it's just about doing it. Even if you maybe fall out of 1 week, you miss 1 week, as long as you pick it right back up, I think you learn as you go.
Yeah, man. My dad, he was really my inspiration for this.
That's cool.
Yeah, man. He started an AM radio show, like a talk radio show, like, I want to say 15 years ago. I could be wrong. Somewhere in that time frame.
That's sick, dude.
And he does the same thing I do. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's really helped him meet a lot of people, and it's helped him grow his business too back home, and he does the same thing I do.
Is he still doing it today?
Yeah, I think my dad's been an investment advisor for like 40 something years.
Damn, that's fire.
So I mean, that's the inspiration behind this. Like, you know, I'm sure same as you guys on the Brendan Schmitty show, like you want to grow that audience
and just keep getting better,
you know, continue to see if you can reap business opportunities from connecting with people and doing something you love.
Oh yeah, dude, that would be such a blessing on top of it, because the way I look at it too, dude, is like, I have so much fun talking to him and just talking about shit, and the fact that we're blessed to have fans that like us for who we are, and that we can just go and talk about shit and shoot the shit, talk shit, make fun. I like making people laugh, and then at the end of the day, when it comes to it, years from now, when we have something to look back at, it'll be there. Hopefully. No, like, shortage or anything with technology.
Well, that's the thing, man. Like, a lot of my life, I was kind of like, damn, like, I wish I had, like, captured those memories a little more.
Right.
You know?
Because I was telling the boys the other day, I feel like I was born 15 years late. I feel like if I'd have been born in, like, 2000, 2003, like a teenager right now, imagine... when we would have been, we're 16 years old with the ambitions that we had back then.
Yeah.
And having these kinds of stuff. I just can't imagine.
Yeah, man. Like, people that rode that wave, you know, I think success and stuff like that too. I think you control what you can control, right? Mm-hmm. You know, shoot, edit, once you're off the ground, publish every week. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's also a degree, and I've lost my train of thought, but fuck, man.
No, it's okay.
I'm starting to see the grind of it now, and I'm ready for it, but it's like, let's go.
Yeah.
That's how you got
to
be.
Yeah. I want you to know right now that even though it might seem like a lot to you right now, as you get better, you'll be more proficient with what you do with your editing. So you'll know how to do things quicker, and you'll get it done faster. I can always show you some stuff too after the pod if you need. I can show you some shit.
That'd be sweet.
Dude, me and Brendan are 128 episodes in our pod. Dude, I still look at myself as a white belt, bro. Like,
yeah,
I'm still learning and growing and just trying to get better. We still have fuck. Today we were trying to do a pod. My computer just shut off. So I'm like, fuck. Then we ran out of time. So shit happens. You know what I mean? And we just learn from it.
So what do you post a pod weekly? Is that what it is?
Yeah, we've been doing a pod a week, and then lately I've been trying to do two pods and a vlog a week. But it's hard. Consistency is so key, and it's hard to stay consistent with that much.
Yeah. From what I've listened to and heard about podcasts, it seems like the most important part of it is just like showing up for your audience, like showing back up.
Oh yeah.
Because then like a level of trust is developed there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Oh, I have shout out to all my fans because they're loyal.
Hell yeah.
Sometimes I'll get shit on the comments on Tim and Sean's pod, and I'll have Jobin stick up for me.
I saw that, dude. Like, so yeah. I haven't ever experienced that yet. Like, what is that like?
It's really
like the emotions of it.
It's humbling, and it's like it gives you a little bit of gratitude that, like, for what yourself, like what you're doing, like, hey, what you're doing something right. Keep working hard, and let's make it bigger and more positive kind of thing. Because every time a fan comes up to me, dude, I just still can't even believe it. Sometimes I've even caught myself like, you know who I am? Like, it's just crazy.
So you guys have gotten to about 3,300, somewhere around there, subscribers?
Yeah, a little bit.
Dude, and you just...
It's insane.
You start with zero and you build... Like, that's... I think that might be the most intriguing part about it for me, is like the journey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's
just
so cool.
And just doing it, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I think at the end of the day, what I desire in anything I do is to... connect while I'm in the process of doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's what the rewarding part is. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. It's all rewarding, especially when you one of the craziest things, because I deal with depression and shit, is when someone's like, dude, I'm depressed, and like you guys make me my day, man. Like, I look forward to your shit. You guys say shit, and then like, that's how I felt with Tim and Sean's pods. Like, they were saying shit, I'm like, damn, I just need to look at that way and I'd be so much better. So that when people say that, it's like, holy shit, thank you. And it just, again, powers me to want to get better, do better, and be better. Like, you know, get more out.
Dude, there's definitely something to be said for, like, the mentors you have in your life.
100%.
I was talking to someone the other day, like, I had a strength coach in college, like, playing football. And, you know, guys... You know, ex-heroin addict, like, came back, like, worked construction, grinded for, like, 18 hours a day. Uh-huh. And now he's the director of sports performance at Marshall.
Damn.
And he
did
was
I
like...
I accidentally just pressed the button down here at the bottom. Did I turn it off? There's a button down here that I accidentally pressed.
I don't think it turns it off.
Okay.
I can hear you good.
Oh, you can hear me good still? I just wanted to make sure. My bad.
Is the mic toggled to on? Let's see.
Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, yeah, that's at the top. My bad.
We're good.
My bad, friend. I just didn't want to mess your shit.
Growing pains. Growing pains.
Watch your fingers, Schmidt.
No, like, influential figures, man.
100%.
So, obviously, I know you from the gym. And, like, what's the story on, like, where you come... Basically, what's your origin story? Where'd you come from? Uh-huh. How'd you end up here?
Well, I agree. One thing, Jack. Shout out Jack Harrow. You're a product of who you surround yourself with.
And, hell yeah.
And, me and Brendan, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri.
Yep.
I'm 30, dude. I'm old. I met Sean through Twitch and Instagram. So I've been a UFC fan since I was like 14.
Damn.
Yeah, long time, dude. Long, long time. Back when it wasn't cool to watch. Back when Sean's weight class wasn't in the sport.
I remember that, dude. Yeah. I remember those days. I didn't follow it closely, but I do remember when it was special. Like that.
They were special days. And... I had, you want to get deep?
Let's go.
I had a high school crush, well, love, for 5 years. We graduated high school, college together. She broke up with me. I was working as a manager at a movie theater while also going to school at the time when she broke up with me. Graduated college, stayed manager for about 5.5 years at the movie theater. And I became friends with Sean while being a manager at the movie theater. And the story with that is kind of crazy itself, just because I had started going to UFC events and I met this guy who showed me this website where you can send, because I like to get my card, I like to get shit signed by fighters. And I was like, oh, dude, sick. So I joined this page. Sure enough, I downloaded Instagram, didn't have Instagram at the time, just to look at the gyms and like know when they're there and shit.
Yeah.
That's when I saw, and then Sean did his debut and I was like, holy fuck, on the Contender Series. Yeah.
Was that the night where he met Snoop Dogg and that crazy story he tells about that?
I was infatuated. I was like, dude,
that was so sick. Dude, it was so sick.
And then the fight itself was so sick with the skinny Afro kid with the way he's moving, jumping around. I was mesmerized. You know what I mean? I tell Brent all the time, there's been three times with fighters. It's been Anderson Silva, Conor McGregor, and Sean that I've just had like something special about these guys.
Yeah.
It's something, it's hard to explain.
Dude, I saw him, I don't remember which fight of his I saw, but it was when I just moved out here because I took a job with the Arizona Coyotes.
Uh-huh. What year was that?
21.
Okay.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. How long ago? So, I mean, my background, I started off working with the Indianapolis Colts.
That's sick.
I had some connections that like really helped me out. uh-huh. and you know, kind of taught me how to be a man, be a professional, because I was very immature when uh-huh. I was still even graduated from college. And the pandemic happened, so I went home. My dad's got a firm back home, so that happened for a year, and that was great. Got my licenses, all that. Uh-huh. And then I was kind of just like, damn, I think I need to get out of my hometown. It's just, you know, something urged me to do it. So they called, and I answered, and didn't work out, but uh-huh. I'm in a different role, and it's
now fire. Now look at you.
That's, trying, man.
Yeah, dude.
Trying.
Life's about taking risks, bro.
100%. If you don't,
I think I never knew I would take this kind of risk that I took moving across country. Never in a million years. And then now I'm like, I'm so glad I did take a risk, because that's what life's about. You'd regret it if you never did.
100%. And I think my gut was telling me that when I was deciding if I wanted to, you know, come out here. And I was like, damn.
You had that feeling, right?
Sunshine, palm trees. Yeah. I had been dreaming of deserts a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, all right, let's do it. And yeah, so when I moved here, I saw Sean on whatever fight he was on. It was somewhere
2021. That might yeah. have been, you know, Eddie, could have been.
Yeah, he was already pretty popping, but yeah. I don't think, like, dude, I saw his training at Glendale, Arizona, I was like, that's where I work every day. So ended up being like 6 minutes.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It's from like the arena where we used to work, and like State Farm Stadium and all that.
Uh-huh.
It was like 6 minutes away. So I showed up and talked to Tim, and
were you just like, oh shit, were you nervous?
Well, you know, it's like that type of thing where, you know somebody better than they know you.
Uh-huh.
And so I just, you know, I showed up and we chatted. I don't remember what we said, but I was just like, yeah, I want to join. Uh-huh. And it had been like 2 years since I had trained. I started out in Birmingham, Alabama, where I went to college, because I stopped playing football after year two. And so I joined an MMA gym over there.
What position did you play in football?
Linebacker.
Okay. Wow. You were the fucking tank.
Dude, it hurt.
I bet, dude. I bet. Those were the scary guys on the field back where I was from.
Dude, football is my number one love. It always will be.
Really?
Like, nothing makes... Yeah, dude. Like, I don't know what it is for you. Like, uh-huh. that thing that, like, nothing makes you feel better. Like, uh-huh. for me, it's ball.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know a funny story about me? I played football. I didn't really play. I got sidelined because we had, like, 60 people
on the football team. Yeah, you're a big fuck. I would...
Dude, yeah. They had to special order my football helmet.
What was it? Triple X?
Yeah, something like that. And all the kids, dude, out. And guess what? I didn't play the next year.
Because of that?
Just because I didn't get any. It was like a couple weeks into the season. So I'd already missed like games. Never got to do real practice. So we would do a fourth quarter. Our fifth quarters. We would do fifth fucking quarters because our football team was so big. And that's when I would get put in.
Damn.
Yeah. So, and kids would come up to me like years later. Be like, you're Ricky, right? The helmet kid? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, we could spin that thing around our head, dude.
Dude. Dude, that's tough. Gee. Damn.
Yeah. Big head, man. Big head.
I'll tell you what, though, man. There were a couple guys I played with in high school that were, you know, they were kind of in that position, uh-huh. like, first couple years. Uh-huh. And then, like, they were late bloomers, and they ended up being dogs. They were good, dude. Yeah. One of them ended up playing at Kentucky, like, uh-huh. you know, SEC ball.
Uh-huh. That's but, fire. Dude, I yeah. bet you guys are fucking big boys down there. Missouri's tough. We got some big guys in Missouri, but dude, I don't know.
I remember we went one time my senior year, played at this Eastern Kentucky, like, Cole, coal town. It's called Belfry, Eastern Kentucky. At that age, and those were some corn-fed boys, dude.
Steel toes.
They had, I think, all five of their offensive linemen went D1.
Really?
Just freaking road graders.
That's crazy, dude. That's cool.
Yeah, football is cool, man.
Why did you stop playing? Because that's cool. You even played college sports. I played volleyball for 3 years, but I never played college sports.
How much time do you have, dude? So, long story short, my body was like getting pretty beat up, and I was immature and had never like learned the lesson of, you know, quitting something, and like how, you know, like that's not a mistake you make again. So I learned that early, man. You know, I wish I had kept playing, but, you know, it's just one of those things where I weighed way more than I thought or than I wanted to weigh. I was like 240.
Which is crazy. How much do you weigh now?
200.
Yeah.
And so like I wasn't fast enough to like be out in coverage, but you know, I could hit. And so they stacked weight on me. So that's what that is.
I think everything happens for a reason. Because now you're doing, what are you doing now? Are you fighting now? Or are you just doing jits? Because you do the MMA classes, don't you?
Yeah. I like training with the guys that are trying to be pros.
And like, you just like being
there. Just like the social aspect, the competition.
That's cool. I respect that. Because that's hard. You're doing the hard work with them. You know what I mean?
Dude, the wrestling is so tough.
I fucking.
10 seconds. And then we're going to take a little smoke break.
So we got a little more stoned.
Yes, we did. Having a good time, breaking bread.
Showed you the island, boys. What are your thoughts? Give the people your thoughts on that right now.
That was tough. I never expected to see that in my life. But no, man, I appreciate you coming on again. Episode 4 in the jar.
Yes, sir.
With me and Schmidt.
Let's go. What are we doing?
But yeah, dude, joining Tim's gym is probably the best thing that's happened to me since I moved here, for sure.
Right? He's such a good coach and mentor, and he's so smart. Tim Quino's so smart. And the fact that he got his black belt from such a smart person, you can really tell that Tim absorbed everything. And because the way that he teaches this on to us, it's crazy.
He does a really good job of like simplifying complicated things.
Right? And then it's cool, too, because all the other senseis that are the other coaches, you can feel like they're picking up from it, too, and the way that they do it in their own way. It's so cool.
Well, and I think the gym's just attracted a lot of good people in general.
How rare is that?
I mean,
because I hear people come in and they're like, man, this gym's pretty unique. I have the vibes in here. Everything is really cool. It's better than I thought it was going to be.
I think it's just an accepting, like, environment.
Right.
Like, ain't no discrimination on, like, where you come from or who you are. Like,
what you look like.
If you show up and you you know, want to compete and get better for the sake of getting better, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Tim really appreciates people who stay consistent. That's, like, his number one thing. If he sees someone staying dedicated and consistent and growing and wanting to get better, he like loves the fuck out of you.
Yeah, I try to be in there at least 4 times a week.
That's good.
If I do more than that, like my body's still kind of beat up from football, so I've found that that's kind of like my plateau. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Isn't it really cool seeing like Tim? Whenever, like, because I know him, I don't know how much you know him from the side. I know him of his, like, goofy self. And then to see him be goofy all the time, and then, boom, when it's time to coach and be serious, he can zap that on. And it's just, it's a spectacle.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a skill, being able to lock the fuck in when you're at work. Right. And you have a job to do. And being like, you know, this is like 100% of my attention is going to this.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely really cool. I'm very honored Tim's taking care, good care of me and the boys with Jits, and I'm very honored.
Special guy.
Yeah. Plus, dude, everyone in the gym, like you said, that's one thing that I was very nervous when I first started Jits, just because it's very uncomfortable throwing yourself into something that you don't know with a pack of wolves that know what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Learn. I mean, I think it's a really important skill to be able to be thrown into the fire and survive.
Yeah.
And then eventually thrive.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
In the smallest ways of winning, like the smallest victories of like getting better at it, I run with it.
It just seems like there's so much, and you know, you can pick up like little things each day.
Yeah. Even with one move, like one move can have seven different things that you got to do, you know?
Yeah.
And then one day you find it just makes sense and it clicks.
Dude, I'm still struggling with getting out of side control.
Same, dude. Same, bro.
Like digging that underhook across is so, like getting that space to dig that underhook in. Imagine across his body is so, yeah, your size. Imagine
my big fat boy.
Oh my.
Like, well, I don't go for that.
Dude, it's like, and you got to spend so much energy bucking, like trying to get that space.
Just a shrimp.
I prefer, I don't know, man. I almost hate side control more than when someone has mount on me.
Really? See, with kinda, side control, because I always end up just fucking going to my back.
I do that too. Right? I do that too.
But I'm starting to get the technique down of pushing the knee out, getting to your side, pushing the knee out, then you shrimp to the other side to get into just like back in guard, in full guard. It's where you're not in side control anymore. That's what I was thinking. I'm so stupid and stuff.
Dude, I like MMA ground game just seems like so different because you got a guy throwing punches at you too.
Oh yeah,
like
you're not gonna throw up a triangle if you're gonna get punched in the face.
Yeah, so it's like it seems like there's, I lost my train of thought.
It's okay. We smoked a lot of weed before this podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Having a good time. Yeah. Legal here in the state of Arizona.
Yes, sir.
Dude. But, no, the ground game has really, like, so on Tuesdays we do stuff on the feet most of the time. Uh-huh. And then on Thursdays we do the wrestling. Uh-huh. And if it's a tough practice, like, we're having rounds at the end where, you know, you start on the feet, you wrestle to the ground, and you go live. And it's like I was getting my arse handed to me in those, like, really just a couple months ago. And I was like, damn.
See, I give you a lot more respect than me, because to just go in there and do that with people you don't necessarily, that you didn't know at the time, all these new people. That's a lot.
So when I joined the gym, I think like the team of guys, like it was like a core group, like Danny and Jimmy and
great guys.
Yeah, like there were some other cats that were there, and Joe, you know, Mikey Perez, like, and there was like 10 of us, and I think Frank, I met him one time. I forget his last name, but he's Tim's friend.
Oh yeah, I forget, dude. It's so hard for me with names and everything.
He was a cool guy. But I did one class with him, and then Jakar and Courtney came in. And there were like 10 of us, and now there's like 40. Was
Frank the guy that passed away?
No, I don't think so. I think
yes, sir.
Yeah, dude. Jakar and Courtney came in. They're awesome.
Oh, I love Jakar and Courtney, dude. They're homies. Jakar, he was my ref when I fought Warlike.
Excuse, what?
Yeah.
What? One more time. I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
What's one more time?
Jakar Klaus was my ref for when I fought my buddy Warlike.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sean had flown us all out. Yeah, man, you just don't know. It's cool that you don't know like anything about us.
Dude.
I love that. Because it's so like... Because I just feel like everyone that I talk to in our group, all the Joe, but like, I feel like everyone at Jits, it's like they all know us. So When people don't know, I'm going to tell it, baby.
Dude.
So, well, I'm going to tell you.
Let's get it.
So, Warlike, I met Warlike gaming with Sean, and Warlike would talk all this shit. And the kid didn't even know me, right? This kid up in Canada. And I first got into Sean's Twitch being the hype guy. Because he would have like 10 people in there. And it was when he broke his foot against Soccer Mom. And he had the 2-year layoff.
Boom, yeah.
And comes Schmitty. I'm like, dude, you're fucking awesome. You're going to be the next guy. Blah, blah, blah. Can I get your autograph? I sent him a plaque. He fucking freaked out when he saw it. Thought it was really cool. Boom. I just would go in there, talk to him. Because I was like, damn, I could talk to him on Twitch. La la la. Then it became me gaming with him. And then we did that for like 2 years before I moved out here. Met Warlike this whole time. Him talking shit.
That's a hell of a name.
Yeah, Warlike. His real name's Nick Lejeune. I probably fucked that up. But anyway.
It's okay.
Yeah. He would talk shit all the... We'd be gaming all the time, and he would just say some shit. Yeah, so Sean's like, all right, boys, how about I just fly? We all meet up, and we have a Jobin fight card. We had 3 fights. We had... Do you know who J-Rob the chief is?
No, sir.
He's a rapper. He's, I'd say, like an underground rapper, right? Yeah. And... Hip-hop. Yeah, sorry, I can't really hear you, my bad. But he's really good. I would say R&B. He's a good singer and everything. Anyway, he made 2 songs for Sean. Welcome to the Sugar Show. Have you heard that?
I probably heard it, but I'm not familiar with it.
He's got another one. Super cool guy. Do you know Jay? Tall Jay who fights? Lengthy Jay?
JJ Cruel Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my dog.
Yeah.
He was one of those original guys that was, you know.
Wait, oh, I love, dude. He is such a chill dude.
Just good natured, man. Right? Good natured fella.
Have you ever seen Ozark?
No.
Oh, he reminds me of one of the guys in Ozark. Crazy, dude.
Dude, I've been told I need to watch that.
It's so good.
It's just the thing about it is when I find something I like watching, I don't do anything else in my evening but watch that.
Oh, yeah, you got to get it out. Got to finish it.
Netflix just dropped a new documentary, Quarterback, executive produced.
Everyone's talking about that.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
By Peyton Manning.
Yeah, everyone's talking about that. I want to watch it.
It's tremendous.
Really good?
You know, like I said, dude. I just love chef's point of view
or something?
Like you hear what plays they're calling, you know, different reads they have before the snap. Like, Peyton Manning is like, his mind for the game of football is crazy, dude.
Oh, I can only
imagine.
Insane. But yeah, then we had... So Jay fought J-Rob the Chief. They were the opener. And then we had our 2 other buddies, Sono.
Yeah.
He fought our buddy Zark. That's Sean also. How did Zark get here? I think.
Who won?
So it was a draw on that one.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was there like a ref and everything?
Jakar.
Dre did it?
Yeah. And then me and Warlike were the main event. And I beat the shit out of him.
You got him?
Yeah, I had him up against the cage, and I was like, you're a fucking bitch. And I threw an overhand over the top, and he started bleeding. And I felt... And then Sean put it up on YouTube, finally. It's up on YouTube.
Yeah, maybe... Is a clip of that in y'all's intro for the pod?
Maybe. I've made so many different intros.
There's a video on the intro of y'all's pod where Dre's like...
Oh yeah, and we're staring each other down. Yeah, that's it.
Dude, he's awesome, man.
He's so cool to be around, and he's like one of the he's like a little ball of energy, positive energy. You know what I mean? I feel like you can't break that guy.
Yeah, he's gonna come on, I think, in a couple weeks.
That's fuck, dude. Because me and Brendan have been wanting to get Jakar on forever, dude. And he says he will. They're such good people, but we're just slacking not having a third mic.
I said, what do you want to talk about? Fighting? He was like, nah, let's talk business.
Dude, I love it. Dude, I feel like just shoot the shit with Jakar would be so much fun. And Courtney. I'd love to learn about them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Dude, so the week I was getting my ass kicked that I mentioned earlier, I was doing like all the rounds with, like, it was like one day where I did like all the rounds with him.
What was that like?
And he's relentless, dude. He's a dog.
Jakar, dog.
Like stays on you.
Yeah.
The whole time.
I watched him train.
His body shots are crazy, dude.
And he throws wild shit just for fun.
Yeah, well, you don't know. Like, he could always shoot in and get a takedown on it. Like, me at least, he can do that.
Yeah.
And so, like, he'll feint a takedown and then just rip a body shot. And
oh, it's, you dirty bastard, Jakar.
Yeah, so I, like, with him, I had to hammer the body to keep him off.
Uh-huh.
And try to keep, because, like, the only thing I had was length.
You are more brave than me.
Dude, he's a dog, and he, like...
I haven't even sparred Sean.
He's a pro. I mean, he's a pro.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Dude, people don't... the normal human, I hope, starts realizing. But I guess it took me to mess with all these kind of guys to see it and really realize that the shittiest fighter that we make fun of would kill every average fucking man.
Yeah, there's levels to it. Yeah. Like... You know, I mentioned earlier, I do it because I like to compete with the best athletes.
Yeah, that's... Whew.
And I do it because of the social connection.
That's cool, dude. That's really inspiring.
Well, I mean, that's the only thing that, like, gets me out of bed.
Really?
Yeah, it's just, you know, trying to connect with people.
Dude, I want to be more like that 100%. Because, yeah, the brotherhood in jiu-jitsu is insane.
Dude, it's sick.
And then, like, going out with everybody, like when we all get together, like when that guy before he left to go to Germany back home.
Yeah, Arnie.
Yeah, he was cool.
He was a dog.
That's what it's all about.
We had some hard wrestling practices, and he was in for every one of them.
What if they? It's like, dude, it's like, it feels like that kind of special group that, like, that Coach Carter kind of shit.
You know what I mean? Dude, goated movie.
Yeah, none of us can die, though. We can't have any of that.
Brendan, you fuck with Coach Carter? You like that movie? Dude.
Me and Brendan watched that shit together when we came out, dude.
I remember my grandpa, who was in the sports business, like, showed me that when I was, like, a kid.
Uh-huh.
And I always loved it.
Oh, dude, such a good
always
movie.
And, like, I learned different things from it as I watched it growing up.
That's one that I haven't seen in so long. I'd like to go back and rewatch.
The soundtrack's great.
Oh yeah,
the opening song, dude, when he's driving around in the hood.
Yeah,
I got some intense nostalgia for that movie, for sure.
100%. I have that with Titanic. I know everyone's about the Titanic and everything, but that actually brought me back to my love to the movie Titanic with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Did you watch it after the submarine?
Oh yeah, we watched it the other night. Even Brendan was captain. We were. Dude, I cry. I was crying at the end. I'm such a bitch.
Dude, somebody tweeted. They it was like, it's like that meme where you're poking at it with the stick. You're like, come on, do something. And it was basically like they pasted the submarine in there, and then they put like Bill Gates and like George Soros, and they were they were saying like, go, you need to go down there.
Oh my god. I saw this one video. It was kind of good. But have you ever seen Ace Ventura?
It's been a long time, brother.
Well, you know when he's in the rhino and he can't. He's trying to. Oh, I need air, and he's trying to get out of the rhino's ass. They put that in the submarine. I was like, oh fuck, dude. The internet's crazy. The internet wins, dude. The internet. It's cool. We're creating. You want to get into the AI talk? I think we've been creating AI for a long time.
Do you guys like Twitter?
Don't really use it.
Yeah.
Why?
There's some crazy stuff on Twitter, dude.
About AI?
Just in general.
It's like don't you think that everything that everyone's ever searched has kind of been used towards it? Makes sense, right?
I remember one time I was at work and I remember distinctly remembering talking to somebody about a nitro cold brew from Starbucks. And I opened my phone, Instagram, 5 minutes later, ad for a nitro cold brew.
Yep.
It's what it is.
It is what it is.
You know what I mean? I'll tell you this, though. My best buddy was in intelligence for the Army.
Uh-huh.
So qualified opinion on things like this. He refuses to have an Alexa in his house.
Really?
Refuses.
How many things are like Alexis's, though? Like, isn't our phones like
absolutely.
That? You know what I mean?
But you can't not have a smartphone, right? You know? So that's, and they know that.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
What I don't get is there was a guy who just got caught who's a serial killer, and he had murdered a bunch of girls. There was like four of them. I forget what state this is. But it was back in 2001 and 2003. And this dude been living in a regular neighborhood. Those murders were a long time ago. Who knows if he's murdered people since.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like we have this technology that's like, oh, we think he's listening to us, but yet can't solve a lot of problems that is like everywhere. Like that. If that makes any sense.
I've never thought about that way.
Like, before. How come we couldn't figure that out somehow?
Hopefully there will be advancements in those sectors that enable that.
Right? Or how come, like,
and it might be you know, a business related issue too. Like, somebody may have that technology, but, you know, just hasn't sold, you know, the idea to somebody yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like given up, you know, the rights to their own research to, you know, scale their business. I don't know. I'm just spitballing.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm just like, where in the future does it get? Because, like, you know how, like, every generation kind of spoils it for the next, so there's new rules made so that things don't happen that have happened in the past?
Yeah.
What's going to be that? For, like, what are we using right now with our phones and everything that something's going to, like, that needs to be controlled a little better or have more implications on?
Well, I know, like, what is it? I think it was the state of South Dakota banned TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think it was South Dakota.
So that's another one? That's like the second one?
It was either South Dakota or Wyoming.
Yeah. See, I was thinking like Montana or Wyoming or something like that. But anyway, yeah. See, there you go. They like banned the banning it. Of apps. Like,
doesn't matter what state it is. It's the fact that a state banned it.
Yeah.
And then you got, I was reading in the Wall Street Journal, you got China looking to set up spy bases in Cuba so they can like pick up the frequencies from, like, you know, South Florida and farther north.
Fucking China.
Yeah.
Brendan was telling me something about them having like factories here in America to where people are going to be working for.
Well, and that's the problem, right? Like, China is exporting more and more goods, or they're exporting less and less goods. And then Biden's also imposing tariffs to tax the shit out of any Chinese imports that do come in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're exporting less and their economy's like really, it seems like it's starting to hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
So, fuck. Things to watch.
It's been good while it's lasted, America.
I think we'll get our shit together. I know we'll get our shit together.
Yeah.
But, you know, COVID was just a crazy, crazy thing.
What'd you do during COVID?
So when it happened, I was still working for the Colts and I was in an entry level role, like I said. Mm-hmm. So it was a 12-month program. And so normally around like month 7 or 8 of selling, like, you got some numbers under your belt and you can start talking to other teams about like getting a role with them.
Mm-hmm.
As a, like, an account executive. Mm-hmm. Which is as a promotion. And so basically, like, it's called inside sales. Mm-hmm. And it's basically just like year-long boot camp. Like, you're making 100 calls a day, learning how to sell, like, and I put some numbers up. And so I was talking to the Detroit Lions about taking a job there and moving to Detroit. And then I think it was March 17, 2020, everything kind of hit the fan. And so, like, they weren't able to extend the offer because of, you know, the state of Michigan's regulations towards it. So I went home and I got a job with my dad and got my license to be a financial advisor. So that was a really blessed year.
Damn, so you turned it around and made it a good thing.
Yeah. It sucked at the time. Like, yeah, you know, I was just studying every day and kind of felt like school again, which I didn't like. And yeah, I got the license. And then after about a year at home, I was kind of like, okay, I think it's time to like take a risk and branch out. You know, because I, you know, when you're sitting at a desk in your dad's office, like there's a sense of security there. Like, you know, I know that, like, I won't get fired. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that. So yeah, Coyotes came calling, man, took the job.
What about that made you like, just made you like, made you feel lazy or something?
I didn't feel that there was any like accountability metrics that I could like base my work that I was doing on.
So that you, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So like feedback almost, like,
yeah,
knowing that you're doing something worthwhile.
Yeah, because it's a that became a complicated relationship, like working for my dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, it's like, that's your dad. Like, personal shit's going to get mixed into the work day. And like, I just don't like that shit. Like, yeah, if I'm at work, I want to be like laser locked in, you know, I don't want to hear about anything else.
So what are your dreams to do right now?
Dude, just connect with as many people as I can. And genuine, you know, connections, right? And I think things like sports and music and things like that are the great unifiers that we still have.
Yeah, 100%. You know,
and so, yeah, I think connecting.
Yeah, movies.
Culture in general.
Yeah.
You know, being able to connect with somebody over any given thing. Like, I think that's a blessing.
Food.
You know. So I would say that, you know, I think you know, helping athletes is what I want to be doing. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, man.
Well, you're definitely, with the podcasting, reaching out and connecting with people, that's definitely the right way to go.
Dude, just getting the workflow down for this, you know, even like, you know, subtly, you know, changing the camera, like there's so much value in like being able to share knowledge. And so it's like you guys have been doing this. Like, you give me a pointer, I'm doing it.
Oh yeah. Well, hey, dude,
cause then I'm becoming more efficient, yeah, right there.
Right. That's the way I look at it. If you're not learning, you're not living, baby.
That's the damn truth.
Yeah. Cause a lot of the stuff that Tim and Sean,
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98, because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Passed down to me, like, you'd have to pay for. And here I am, blessed, getting it for free from my best friends.
Because you don't have, like, you, so I think there's two types of learning, right? You can, like, experience something, and I think that's the deepest form of, like, wiring your brain, right, is the experience. And then sometimes when, you know, somebody gives you good advice or how to shortcut something or how to be more efficient at something, they just saved you time.
Oh yeah.
Because that's the most valuable commodity at the end of the day, in my opinion.
Oh yeah.
And so it's like, if you can, if somebody can come in and save you having to experience a fuck up, then like there's a lot of value in that.
Yeah. Or yeah,
Because they've experienced different things and they can share, you know, how to circumvent it so that you don't have to feel or do that, you know, same mistake.
Yeah. I was super blessed. Shout out my mom. I was super blessed with such a great mom that knows how to truly convey things and say things the right way so that you, in my fuck ups, I see where I fuck up and learn from it.
Simplifying complex things, man.
Being away from her across country, I'm like a loose cannon right now.
You know what I mean? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I like. There's definitely a degree of that. Like moving somewhere so far away. Mm-hmm. Like you guys are probably similar distance to me. Maybe a couple hundred miles saved to the west, but
yeah, Kentucky's like what, a little south.
Yeah, we're like 4 hours from St. Louis.
Yeah. Oh yeah, nothing like Tennessee. Like where, yeah, you're right about right above Tennessee.
My dad and I used to jump in the car and when the Reds were playing the Cardinals, we would go to St. Louis, go to Busch.
Hey. I don't think I've ever been to Kentucky.
It's a cool place.
I think I've driven through it.
It's got a different feel to it, just like with the horse business. It's really, in the bourbon scene, like it's really unique.
I'd like to check it out.
Dude, I'll tell you what, you go to, so my home track, horse racing, is Keeneland. And they have meets in April, they have meets in October, and you can just dress up, act like a degenerate.
And just go
bet on horses. Yeah, man, it's real fun.
Get crazy in some boots.
Get muddy. Dude. You wear a suit, but the activities you're doing aren't indicative of how you're dressed. It's it's a good time.
That's cool.
Yeah, dude. But yeah, I mean, back to the AI thing, like we got to get a handle on.
That I kind of don't want to matter.
You want to see how it plays out?
Yeah, let's just see what happens, where it goes.
It's going to change warfare. It's going to change, you know.
I want to be right now in that chair to where I feel like I'm in another reality.
Yeah.
Where this doesn't even like I want to confuse games with life. I want to come out like, "Well, what the fuck?"
Dude, and it was talking this book, it was talking about that too. It was like, you know, we will be able to immerse ourselves in like such intense VR.
I just hope it's not super expensive.
That we can literally live a separate life from our own body.
Oh yeah.
And choose, you know, whatever we do, because like that. And then you think about how financials would work in the metaverse.
Oh yeah.
How do you pay for stuff in your alternate life?
Mm-hmm.
Can you invest in the stock market in your alternate life?
It's going to be crazy.
And it's like, they was talking about how these people would, you know, people could choose to just be in this like hedonistic virtual like life and just like, you know, fucks in all the time and shit like that.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what Microsoft and all these other teams that are building all these AIs. It's like the race to the moon right now.
Dude,
the modern race to the moon.
Even in Ukraine right now, they're using drones for like attacks.
I believe it.
Like they just send a drone in on something.
That was in movies. That was in that one Gerard Butler movie. White House Down or some shit. I don't know. I forget.
I think I know that movie.
So, the second one, some shit. I forget.
My memory with movies is so bad. Like I'll see something and if it's longer than 3 years ago, I don't remember it.
Really?
Unless, obviously, there are special cases.
Yeah. But. See, like, movies, the ones I don't care about, but movies I loved and absolutely, me and Brendan, dude, we're, like, two of the biggest movie fanatics ever.
Did you guys ever watch Norbit with Eddie Murphy?
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my goats.
I love Norbit. We laughed.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah, dude. Eddie Murphy's the goat. That was actually pretty good.
Dude, it's my. I love. What's that her name movie again? Respucia. Yeah, dude. What's your name? Norbit.
That's
a stupid ass name.
Or maybe he did make another movie recently. I think where he did. Yeah, he did. But I just didn't really like it as much.
Really?
Because Eddie Murphy's the king. One of the kings at that. Mike Myers.
His stand up, I think, is pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you see? Did you guys see Tom Segura's new stand up?
Yeah. Yeah. Tom just goes up there and he tells a story. I like it.
I think that's the greatest gift a person can have.
Yeah. I really like Tom. And that the breaking of the arm, like that video, I can't watch it.
Oh, there's video. Damn.
Oh, yeah.
I won't be watching that.
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's definitely hard to watch.
But him, like, talking about his kids,
mm-hmm.
It was hilarious.
He's funny the way he talks about it. You know what I mean?
I don't know if, like, that storytelling gene is, like, a gift from God or if you just hone that over time by just getting in front of people.
Dude, that'd be so tough for me because not only are you telling that story, but you're telling this it over and over and over and over. You know what I mean? And you got to make it punch every single time. So for me, stand-up comedy for me is so tough because, like, it's hard for me to tell the same thing over. Like, I'm such a, like, I'm funnier in a moment.
Yeah.
But if you tell me to be funny in the moment, I can't do that.
It's like when the cameras come on with this, you know?
Yeah, well, I've gotten better with that.
Yeah, because you do it.
Yeah, I guess maybe that would
be the same. Do you want to sit down, by the way? Do you want to take, I don't care.
We got Brendan on the pod here, too.
Yeah, dude, I don't want you standing there for 3 hours.
With stand-up, if I could go up and just do, if I could find a way to be up, to find that energy that I can get sometimes.
Yeah.
To be so invested in an emotion into a story and just go on stage and vent.
Yeah.
And just vent about that story. I feel like I would do better than having a routine scheduled story.
I think there was a fella on JX's podcast that does it. He was saying, like, it's a different level of performance because when you're in the music, like, you know, you can record your song and then play it for someone, you know, or play it for your friends and be like, hey, like, what do you think about this? And get some, like, you know, some feedback before you release it to the world.
Yeah.
And he was saying, like, with stand up, like, there's no way of knowing that. So, like, you got to kind of go up and just, like, bomb a little bit and, like, see what doesn't work.
I wonder.
And it's like a live response.
Yeah. I see, like, should we just take a mic and then just get our phones and just do a stand up in your rooms?
Like, yeah, dude. Like,
just practice that way?
I mean, I don't think you can replace having, like, a live,
right? Like,
'cause you don't group know what of people works. In front of you.
But, well, in the comments.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a little different.
Yeah. I think just, like, nothing. So, like, my friend was talking to me about, like, her job, and she was saying, like, you know, I feel like the people that are at the office in Dallas, you know, get promotions more than I do. And I was like, of course they do. Like, it's human nature. Like, familiarity, like, in person, to me, is much different than, like, meeting with somebody on Zoom.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just because your energies are in the room commingling as opposed to just, like, I see you on a screen and I hear your voice through this little MacBook audio speaker.
That was exactly what it was like for when Sean first flew me out.
Yeah, dude.
We'd only known each other from gaming.
And I've seen that happen before. Like I was in Tampa last weekend with my boys from college, and they all play Xbox together. So, like, one of my buddies is from Tampa, lives there, and has, like, obviously his high school buddies that he plays Xbox with.
Mm-hmm.
And so my other buddies from college, so there's four of us, including me, one of his names is Lewis, and he's been playing Xbox with Dean, my buddy's high school buddy, for years, and they just met for the first time last weekend, and they've been playing together for like 4 or 5 years.
That's sick.
It's just really, like, cool to see that.
And that's even longer,
dude. Like an Xbox meeting, dude.
Yeah, for imagine 5 years gaming with somebody.
Dude, I never was good at, like, Call of Duty or anything. I was never good. And it took me a long time to accept that. But
I was when I was a kid, dude.
And I love the gamer humor, though.
Yeah.
Like Rust in Modern Warfare 2.
Oh, yeah.
The nostalgia.
Dude, Modern Warfare 2 back when I was a freshman in high school was where it was at. That's when I had a group of friends. We had a clan. We were all really good.
Do you think that's the best game of all time? On the old Xbox,
honestly, probably, because it was just so simple but yet so good. But then again, it was new at that time, you know what I mean? But again, like, even just the simple gun layouts, like, now you are making a fucking gun in Call of Duty, And there's so many fucking different things that do different things. It's just so crazy. And
it's then more robust.
Yeah, and it turned into the, like, I feel like the pay to be better. Like, if you pay for things, it makes you better.
Dude, you know what sucks is that Madden, is, like, they have the, EA Sports has the exclusive rights to Madden. Mm-hmm. And so they can release the game on the market every year and know people are going to buy it. And so, like, it's been very blatant that they haven't, like, really tried to develop the game for, like, years. And they just have the rights. So they just keep putting out the game. People keep buying it, and that's what it is. It's tough.
That is tough.
There was a – you guys play 2K?
I used to. You still play, Brennan? Yeah? No? We used to play it all the time.
There was a one year where they had the licensing to do an NFL football game and had Terrell Owens on the cover. Fire.
Best game?
I would play it in a flash right now if I had the means to do it.
Dude, some of those old school sports games were where they were at, to be honest with you.
That's all I really, like, to this day, if I game, I'll play Madden. Because I just like the strategic, like the play calling and all that. I'm a nerd about, like, plays and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think.
I get it.
Yeah, it's
you
fun.
You love your football. I definitely get it.
Dude, I just can't, in a shooting game, I can't aim. I don't know what it is. I cannot aim.
Dude, I love shooter games my whole life. I'm really.
I love them. I'm terrible.
Were you a gamer as a kid?
My brother was probably 2X me, but I played a lot. I would play like the old NCAA football games.
Because, like, something me like and Brendan, too. We were gamers, bro. Like, we played every game. We would play all the games. Horror games, crime games, shooter games, race games, sports games.
NFL Street 2 for PlayStation.
Yeah, like, crazy shit.
That game's also goated.
Snowboarding games. Name it, we played.
Tony Hawk.
Yeah, Tony Hawk.
Yeah. PGA, like, I think golf video games are good.
Yeah. I truly think we're really blessed to have grown up. Sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I'd have been born, but then, like, then again, I am blessed because
amen,
brother. I grew up right away. Like, some of my first memories are playing, like, Zelda, the Ocarina of Time.
Super Mario 64.
And, yeah. On the
Where you, like, jump into the the painting.
Yes.
So fire.
And I can remember being, like, 4 years old, 5 years old, my aunt and my mom going, wow, he's learned how to play this game quick. Like, so they all saw it. Like, the adults saw the kids being so addicted and into the video games. You know what I mean?
We used to play, we had a Wii.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to play MLB 2K8.
Uh-huh.
And you could actually, like, swing the baseball bat.
Oh, yeah. Dude, and he had the Wii Sports. We would go hard on that.
Tennis and golf, dude.
Bowling. We went hard. We would be sweating.
Nice on.
The Olympic Games. Mario versus Sonic Olympic Games. Those were so much fun.
Those were fire.
They were sport, yeah.
Super Smash was fire, too.
Yeah. Oh, dude. And then, but yeah, what I'm saying, like, going from the Nintendo 64, mine was Nintendo 64, GameCube, Xbox 360, and then PlayStation 4, now PlayStation 5.
Mm.
And I'm so grateful for that.
My buddies argue about whether PlayStation or Xbox is better all the time, and for some reason I think it's hilarious.
I would have argued, so I was Xbox hardcore all the way up until the PlayStation 4, because Xbox, I felt like when Gears was brand new and when Halo was on, like, Halo 2, Halo 3, and Gears was new, I feel like that was the prime Xbox. And so I felt like, you know, God of War was a big name for PlayStation.
I knew about all these games. Yeah, I just never played them.
Grand Theft Auto was GTA first PlayStation, but then you were able to get it on Xbox. You know what I mean?
You have a bad night, you just go on the PlayStation and play GTA and just take your aggression out.
I remember the times I couldn't play I couldn't play GTA unless I was over at his house because they had a PlayStation too. Yeah. But I would say growing up, I would say the Xbox was better than the PlayStation 2. But I think now, I would say the PlayStations are way better than Xboxes because I love story games. And I think they have way more better story games.
I remember when Skyrim was a big deal.
Yeah. Dude, there's been a lot. There's been so many that are just so fire.
Is it, that game's not even beatable, is it? Skyrim? Like, there's unlimited quests? Probably. I don't know.
Yeah. I remember being deep in on it. I went hard on Skyrim.
Yeah, we played, and then obviously I played a lot of Fortnite when it was hot, like 18. Me and my three buddies, I just mentioned that was with last weekend, we had a house in Birmingham, and we were renting it. It was two levels, and so all four of our bedrooms were on the second floor, and so they were literally like in a quadrant, right? So room here, room here, room here, room here. And so we could all leave our doors open and just like run fours on Fortnite and like give like live instruction to each other. Uh-huh. Those are some, and I think that's what I like about gaming culture so much is like there's a deep like sense of connectedness all of it. You know,
I'm not gonna lie though, dude. Back when we were kids, the four screens, there were the split screens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like those were special times too.
Special.
Of gathering, like he had an older brother that had his friends. They'd come over and play sports games. We'd play them, and the split screens, like Medal of Honor, shooting each other with the split screens before, and then because I remember going over to my buddy Dan's house and seeing Call of Duty online I'm like, holy shit, we're playing with people around the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you remember that? 100%. You remember that time?
Or even like, you know, just on any game where you see like where the person's playing from and it's like Argentina.
It's like, what the fuck?
And it's like NCAA football 08. Yeah. Somebody from, you know, it's.
And what I love seeing is that we'll always see, even kids in the future will see, is the advancement with how everything looks.
Yeah.
Like a game that you thought looked so fucking cool and good back in the day, and then you go look at it now and it just looks like complete shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? How did we play? How it's like, man, to be back in that time to where we thought that was amazing. It's crazy.
Even like with, and I think this happened years ago with like the, where the Xbox could take a picture of your face and like import you as the My Player on like 2K or whatever.
Even though it looked real shitty.
That was probably years ago. That happened.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. It'll get even crazier, bro. It's gonna be.
Yeah. My buddy who's coming on, I think, in 2 weeks, he's been able to make a career out of playing Overwatch.
Wow. For real?
Yeah, his name's Sam Dawhair, Samito FPS.
And he's making a good chunk of change.
I mean, he's supporting himself doing just that.
Good for him, dude.
Yeah.
That is fire.
Yeah,
see,
dude.
That's the dude.
And he went to like, so I've known this guy. We've been buds since we were like 3 years old. Like literally since we could talk, went to preschool together, all that. Yeah. And he like went, he like enrolled at like a really good school in Kentucky and just said like, this wasn't for me, took a risk and dropped out. And everybody was hating on him for like the first year. And then he blew up.
Damn.
And he's supporting himself. I know that.
That's fire.
Yeah, man. I mean,
that's goal, man.
It's a prime example of just like betting on yourself and like blocking out the haters.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting.
There's a lot more I want to be doing. Like, I wish me and Brendan were doing skits because I just feel like we grew up watching Saturday Night Live. We grew up watching Mad TV.
All the goofy stuff.
We love doing that shit. And I feel like me and Brendan have that size. Like,
he's
little, I'm big.
Yeah, you got the aesthetic.
And like, Chris Farley is one of my idols. And like, I just feel like we could be like Chris Farley and David Spade.
I always think about the sales presentation where he like lights the thing on fire. I could relate to that.
I'm like that big bald guy that like you dress me up in wigs or outfits and it's automatically funny.
Yeah,
you know what
it's
I mean?
Fun.
And if you just give me some lines to read and you let me and Brendan go act, we're going to fucking make it funny.
That's cool. You know that about yourself though.
But we just don't like, I just wish I had a crew, dude. I wish I had.
Yeah.
I wish I was doing it. So I'm just trying to figure it all out. Step by step, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, figuring out when it makes sense to, you know, pay for stuff like that. I think like finding like young, hungry people at first is key because, you know, you can pay them a little less and they're hungry to prove themselves.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I think when this starts to, you know, become ingrained, I'll definitely be thinking about stuff like that too.
Yeah, dude. It would be amazing. And I always think, I'm like, damn, I'm 30. I'm old. It's like, no, dude.
You're not.
I'm not old at all. 30s, I'm so young. A decade, I'm 40. I'm still young.
You think about the medical advancements that are going to happen in our lifetimes as well.
I hope I live to see it. I hope we all live to see it.
I think we will.
Yeah.
You know, when I make retirement plans for people, you know, you map out their retirement to age 100, and I don't think that's going to be the case for long. I think people are going to start living to 110, 120.
Damn.
I think at least by the time we reach that age.
Really?
If I'm wrong.
Would you want to live that long?
If I was fulfilling a profound purpose of some kind, yeah.
Have you ever seen Bicentennial Man?
No.
You should watch that movie.
Show or movie?
It's a movie. It's a little bit long. It's with Robin Williams. It's a really good movie.
Bicentennial.
But that, it really teaches me like the darkness to living long. There's a sad darkness to living long. Because when you outlive everybody that you know. That. Huh?
I don't doubt that at all.
Right? If you outlive everybody you know and love, like, fuck. And they're gone.
Yeah, but if everybody else you know and love starts living as long as you do too, you know.
It'd be easier
to makes it a little better, but obviously we can't control mortality, fellas.
Yeah.
I think that's a good stopping point, G.
Bet. I really appreciate you having me on, man. This was fun. We got to get, me and Brendan got to get you on our pod.
I'd love to do
that. There's a lot of stuff I'd like to dig deep with you.
There's more to unpack here.
There is. Maybe next time you get Brendan on and do something.
Yeah, dude. We'll knock something out. I'm trying to keep guests booked out like a month.
Dude, keep doing your thing, bro. All I gotta say is don't let things stop you from doing it.
Fuck yeah.
Just as long as you keep doing it, you love doing it, just stay to it.
In the shoes, baby.
It's the most important thing. You already know that with your training.
That's for damn show.
Oh yeah.
Alright, boys. In the jar, episode flow.
Let's go.
Done deal.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.